in a world.
There he is.
Here I am. What's going down, bro?
Hey, man, long time no see.
Been a hot second.
I like your attire today.
I'm Mr. Seattle. I'm Mr. PN Dub.
PN Dub, huh?
That's right.
I'll take it.
There's PM Dawn and then there's PN Dub.
What was the name of that song?
I don't
drifting.
Know.
Drifting. Yeah. Yeah, somebody's going to be like, drift away on a... What was it? Yeah, but all I remember is KRS-One hated them, so he like beat them up a few times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was like, PM Dawn.
PM Dawn.
So, it's good to be back, man. Little breaky break.
Had a little time off, a little reflection, a little relaxation.
No doubt.
What are we talking about today, bro?
What we gonna talk about today, man? You know what? We've been having some listener requests come in.
Okay.
And one of my cats from the automotive industry wanted us to discuss what happened to proper onboarding.
Wow. Yes. Let's talk about that.
Onboarding, bro.
Yes.
What happened to proper onboarding? When I think about onboarding, mm-hmm. the ultimate onboarding, I think about the military. Salute to you, sir. Salute to you. I appreciate your service. Thank you for your service, sir.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That always bugs you and me, kind of. We're not going down that route, but
next time.
Thank you for your service. I always think about the military or sports. It's like you get introduced to a camp.
Yep.
You get introduced to a way of how to do things, how to speak, how to walk, how to talk, how to breathe, how to eat. Right. I think about the military and sports when I think about onboarding, and it makes me always say, like, imagine if our Marines were allowed to do their introductory on their own.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. Like, oh, no, just run your laps, do your push-ups, log them, put the camera on you.
Yep.
How would we perform at war?
Piss poor. Yep.
So,
and what I also want to talk about before we get too down there is the flip side of it. Some companies and some situations, they want to be exactly like the military. But so what you talked about, right, is boot camp. Boot camp is a great way. It's a sifter, right? Boot camp, at its core, it's a game to sift out the crap and to see what you're working with, right? So it's like, okay, before we're out in a scenario where you're shit's hitting the fan and you're relying on your buddy next to you to take care of you and not, you know, shit the bed, so to speak. I'm sorry about all these swear words, people. But you need to know in a stressful scenario what is going to bubble up, right? And so on two sides, I think what we want to talk about today is not doing things enough, but also let's not turn it up. We're not the military, you know, companies are not the military.
You're not.
You don't need to create toxic scenarios to try and sift out this crap, because we're not firing bullets at each other out there.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's just peel the onion. What's the purpose of onboarding? Right. The purpose of onboarding is to welcome a new hire into the organization, to set them up with all the resources, right, and internal connections that they need to get their job done.
Yes.
And then sort of handheld them a bit throughout the first 30, 60, 90 days
Correct.
Of their employment. It's to get them on board.
Yep.
And what we're finding is that is sifting away. It's sifting away. You know, I've been in the med device pharma game for well over 20 years, and I've seen robust programs and I've seen some lackluster programs. My individual who's in the automotive industry, here's what they have to say. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, since COVID, They went at home. So mm-hmm. now people are working at home.
Correct.
And now, because people are at home, now that they're coming back to a dysfunctional environment. So yeah. you no longer have a cube. Mm-hmm. You've got this like free space. And so I can just say, hey, man, I'm on the third floor 2E, or I'm on the second floor 3D, right? This is where you can find me. So what they're saying is their old robust process is now staggered and it lacks structure because these people, they don't know where they're going every day. You don't know where to find them. And so what's happening is that now these new hires are just sitting in the wind, you know, reading a manual or doing something on the computer. Whereas previous to that, you know, you would have been sitting at a cube knowing exactly who's coming to your desk and who's not.
Exactly. I mean, I think at its core, right, let's talk about like, you know, I remember first day on the job back, you know, back in the day, and it was like they would even kind of stagger your start date, right? It would be like,
right, so you can meet it.
We'll have you start in a week because we just mm-hmm. had this class. We do it every Monday or whatever.
We'll pause it for you.
Yeah, we're not even going to let you come in the door until mm-mm. you get a proper introduction, right? And you'd go in this class and it'd be, you know, however many people they had hired, and it's like, okay, we're a real company. This is our people. This is our motto. This is our credo. Credo. I guess I've been saying that wrong. Credo. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And
those are J&J terms, right?
Those
there.
Those are J&J terms, right?
I'm an old credo guy.
Yeah. And then they, you know, bless you. It's like, okay, now we need to talk about some important, dangerous, dark stuff, right? We got a mm-hmm. lot of nasty stuff over here. We got a lot of good stuff. This is how we take care of you. This is how you take care of us. You know, official stuff, get it out the way. And it's like, okay, this is what your next 30, 60, 90 days is going to look like. These are the checkpoints. These are the gauntlets that we're going to run you through, because we do want to make sure that you're brought in correctly. That has all been chucked out the window because you couldn't do it when you were when we were working from home. Couldn't do any of that.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory mm-hmm. is it's a little bit of both. Companies forgot that they were doing it, right? But they also mm-hmm. liked that they forgot that cost a lot of money, right? Because it's like, ooh, I don't have to fly somebody all over the place. I can get them working day one. You know, we'll figure that out later. We'll inject the parts that we need as they're needed instead of upfront.
Great point. I also think we lost our creativity.
Oh, completely agree.
Right. And I think in all industries at this current day and age, we want instant results. We want instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
We do. And I mean, large organizations, they demand it. They want you to, you know, that whole statement of hit the ground running. Hey, I get it. But you still got to figure out where the coffee machine is around this joint. You still have to understand how we do trainings, how we do expense reports, how we, you know, when's the holiday part. You need to understand what's new and what's different. And so because of that, I think what's happened is a couple of things. One, we won't take risks on people, right? Because mm-hmm. previous, you could be like, this, you know, you could use your gut before. This girl is going to be great. She's right. got all the right, you know, she's got all the right skill sets. She's shown how she can hustle. I think this will be a nice upgrade. Now, what those individuals are doing in the automotive industry is they're like, I want somebody who currently did this job right here, identical. And they think because that's identical, mm-hmm. you can come in and you did procurement for the competition, that now you can come in and that you're immediately going to make and create results.
Oh, I know.
That's not the case. And so here's the downfall of that. Just because they did it at the last job doesn't mean that they're happy.
Mm-mm.
Everybody's got to earn a check, but people are burnt out.
Yep.
Sometimes people are burnt out of shipping and receiving, but they still got a mortgage. So they're going to come there. So you're just you know, recycling, you're recycling employees. And yes. if you don't get them there, and put them in a real system where they can meet other people, and we'll talk about this, but half the point of an in-person training is the people that you meet.
Couldn't agree more.
It's the people.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'll let you add in.
Yeah. I wouldn't agree with that. You know, like it's like having cohorts, right? It's like you've got this group of buddies that you started with, group of people that you were freshman year at school together with, and it's this journey, right? And you never forget that. And so people are being robbed of that camaraderie and that, you know, safety net because you look out for each other. And the thing I want to add though is that, you know, If the only time I would have ever been hired in my entire career had been because I could perfectly fit in the mold of the job description that mm-hmm. they had on a website, I'd never have a job. I mean, I've so many right. times, right? I've gone to people and I've questioned. I mean, like, hey, this is what I can do, right. you know? This is what I can offer to you, and they're like, wow, we never thought about that. We didn't know that that existed or that, you know, I'm not trying to pump myself up, but it's like, right. we didn't think about doing those kind of things. And that's, you know, that's what you're losing by saying, no, you have to have been doing this for this and this role and this scenario, and maybe even worked for this exact company, or we won't even look at you.
I can remember back when I was trying to get into the OR and I was trying to go through capital equipment. I can remember talking to all these people like, you've got to have capital equipment experience.
Right.
And I would say to myself, at some point you didn't have it.
Correct. You started somewhere. Right?
But look at all these other, you know, you're passing up on all these other accolades just to get, you know, you can get an A player, right? Because sales is sales, especially in a hospital. I get it.
Yep.
But you can get an A player who you can teach it, who you should be teaching it to everyone
yes.
who's coming there. I don't care if you did it. I'm going to teach you our way, right? I'm going to teach you how we do long division here, right? Mm-hmm. Or you can get a C player that's tired and is probably on their way out of that other place anyway.
They want to go to a company for a reason. If they loved their current gig, why would they go somewhere else?
Why are they looking?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you talked about it, but that in-person onboarding, it's that camaraderie.
Yep.
It's, you know, there are people that I still communicate with that I went through initial product training 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Still in contact.
And let's break down that, right? So let's double down on that. Let's talk about, because we're talking about, you know, this might not be super known to everybody, but in certain industries, in certain scenarios, right, you're either working with or selling or creating, you know, complex things, right? Things that take a lot of knowledge. You're not collating files. You're not, pulling a lever. You're doing something where if you do it wrong, bad things happen, whether it be somebody dies or something breaks or, you know,
you have a massive recall.
Right, exactly. So there's a gauntlet that you need to get through. And usually that's product training or safety training or operator training, right? It's like, okay, this is some big boy stuff. We're not trying, you know, you need to make sure and show to me you can learn, you can understand, and you can follow instructions. And that's where I think there is some validity of, you know, putting people in uncomfortable scenarios because things might get uncomfortable.
I mean, test them by all means, but we're not. Yeah,
exactly.
People can be tested, but
you don't need to.
No,
you don't need to. You don't. They're not Marines out there in the sand.
No,
you know, getting grenades thrown at them. So
no,
that's
you want
where,
them. You want them to learn.
Yeah, I do agree that you know. There's this, sometimes that's going to be a lot of knowledge. There's going to be a lot of information. It's definitely a fire hose. And that's where that camaraderie is so important because now you're a group of 4, 6, 10, 20 people that are studying together. You're learning together. You're understanding together. And collectively, you're all so much smarter than if you're at home taking a virtual online course and going, I don't know what the answer to this is. It's like, boom, let's study that together, right? You're not, there's no cheating. It's not people, I don't, sometimes people are like, oh, well, then they should, if they can't learn it on their own, they can't learn it. No, it's like you're collectively bringing everybody's knowledge and inspiration and passion together.
It's the same reason why people who may not have made it through boot camp, they make it through because they yes. have a buddy and they have somebody that helps to push them. And so, you know, by bringing people in together, you're not only setting them up, you're setting them up psychologically.
Correct.
Because what happens is they may be confused about something or they may be looking at something differently. And then they're able to ask everyone else, are you seeing what I'm seeing here? Are you processing? Okay, well, this one, I don't need to die on this hill over this right. issue, but keep pushing. But the other piece is they need that camaraderie and build those relationships, because when the time gets rough, who do you think that new hire is going to lean on? Most new hires are going to act like they know the world to their boss.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to be like, hey, bro, I know you spent all of this money and you went out on a limb to give me this job, but I am buried and confused.
Right.
Right. They're not going to say that. Or if you say, hey, here are the production numbers.
Right.
Right. And you're like, we're not going to be able to make all of that until the end of the year. That's who they're going to lean on.
Totally.
And so those are the people who are going to talk them off the ledge, who are going to help them to see, you know, the other side
yep.
of this storm. And that's going to help you with your retention. So for my folks that are listening who are like, you know, just rush them through.
Mm-mm.
You can't. That's why you're looking 6, 7, you know, 8 months out. And, you know, there's this saloon door of people that are leaving and coming in
because it's a pattern.
As soon as the road gets rough, they'll start looking.
I could not agree more. And we see it all too often. Right. And so. That's the scenario, right? We talk about having these groups and we talk about companies investing in our people, right? It's like, hey, you know, we're here because you are important. We're here because we're investing in you. And that needs to be true, right? That needs to be like, hey, you're in a probationary period for everybody. We're not going to let unleash the hounds on you because you're not ready. But right. we're not going to squeeze you yet because you're not ready. Right. And so there needs to be this time of learning, right? Freshmen need to be freshmen. Newbies need to be newbies. Don't throw them in the deep end of the pool on day one and go swim.
We love that. Yeah. We love that. Just because it happened to us doesn't mean it needs to happen to them.
Right.
And
COVID really made that not only possible, but likable, and that needs to change.
It needs to change, because what's occurred is we've taken away some of these robust programs,
mm-hmm.
these robust onboarding, we'll say training programs, and we've interchanged them with inadequate training resources.
Yep.
And what I mean by that is, listen, there's nothing wrong with a good online course. Nothing
no,
at all.
No, no, no.
To
no.
supplement, right?
Yes.
Is nothing at all. But what you can't do is come in and expect your shift leader
mm-hmm.
or your manager or your supervisor to provide you your entire onboarding.
No.
It's impossible.
Impossible.
For the most part, they got another 6 to 9 people on the team, they're answering to a higher calling.
Yep.
And what's going to happen is you're going to be the one that loses because you're the new hire and they're too busy to really put you through it. Whereas you should be in a room. I don't care if it's 3 days
with right.
a couple of people, but get in a room, turn your cell phone off, right? And mm-hmm. look at the slides and write notes.
Yes.
And you're going to benefit from that so much more than you thinking, oh, well, you know, this is my, you've just got hired into the number one team.
That's right.
right? You're the hired into the number one team. This this person used to do your type of job. They were incredible. They'll get you up to speed. No, they don't have time.
No, they don't have time. I have a challenge. I would say for those that are listening to this, if you are somebody who is involved in training or onboarding or hiring, or you're a small business owner or a medium business, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. I challenge you, go back 5-6 years ago and go dust off your onboarding process and go look at it. Cause I bet it was more successful than whatever it is you're doing today.
Bro, I got a binder right behind me.
Yep.
Multiple binders. Yep. They were binders. Back in the day, you would leave, you would be like, I can't fit this.
No.
Right? I'd get on a plane with a binder.
Yeah.
So you're right.
It was important then for a reason. Mm-hmm.
It was. It was. And I think the other thing is, you know, you look at it like sports. Sports is going through the same deal.
Yep.
And I'm going to use football. What are we seeing with all of these quarterbacks? You're seeing organizations, world-class organization, multi-billion dollar billion dollar organizations make stupid mistakes.
Stupid mistakes.
Stupid. Hey, you're the number one guy in college. Awesome. We're going to make you the starting quarterback immediately.
Whoa.
Just let him. I always say, let him get behind an old Hostetler.
Right.
You know, an old guy who's been in the league for a minute, who understand, just let him see the game. But I just want to make this point. Look at all of these teams that, and subsequently, what are they doing? They're ruining these quarterbacks.
Ruining.
And it's not just me saying it. It's the people on the sports networks, ESPN, Fox. They're like, you Chicago Bears, you did that. You New York Giants, you did that. And so if they're doing it, guess what? So can you. And these are people that they're spending multi-millions of dollars on.
So much money.
And they're not onboarding them properly.
No.
Go ahead, bro. My bad.
No, you're fine. So, yeah, I mean, let's think about that, right? Like, so you're a quarterback. You throwing them out there, they're starting games right away. It's like, no, man, let this offensive line get used to this person. There's going to be some quirks. There's going to be some changes. Let's soak them in. Let's have that old salty dog, you know, who he's like, man, might be time to tie the shoes up, but I'll put in someone, have a turnover, have a transition. Right. And that goes both ways, right? Like don't throw somebody out tomorrow and say, hey, no reason to come into work tomorrow. We're done with you. Mm-hmm. And then bring in the new person and go, hey, this job's yours now, right? That goes, I mean, we're still talking about football, but we're also talking about everyday things. Turnover and, you know, tribal knowledge, or job
is
experience.
It's so critical.
It's like the most essence gold there is. I used to work with a guy, Kent Greenis, and he pioneered what was called, he made his own CTO, CKO, he became the CKO. And so what he found is he used to work in the oil industry, oil and gas. Mm-hmm. And what he found was that every time they would move an oil rig from one location to another, mm-hmm. you know, that's a lot of money. One, you're paying all these dudes and you're getting zero things out of them, right? Because you're not making any money. So there was this big thing of like, hey, how fast can we do this? How much faster? Mm-hmm. And so it would always be, hey, after every rig, what could we have done better? What could we have done different? And so the whole point of that is you were boiling down all of this tribal information, all of this on the job information. When you throw somebody out of the door, instead of easing them out, you know, nicely and working together and saying, hey, you're going to go on to this better thing. That's cool. Can we work with you for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month to get some of that knowledge? Because we don't want to lose it. The high up people, they don't understand that. So all of this stuff, all of the essence of what made your company great 10 years ago, you're literally throwing it out the door because of, oh, well, you know, this guy's retirement age, boom, you're gone. Oh, this person's not perform. You know, maybe they're not in the essence or the core, or they want to leave. Don't even come. You know, you gave me your notice. Fine, stay home. you as a company are what's losing, because that information you'll never get back.
You'll never get back. And you can look at it even from a generational standpoint, right? You got a millennial coming in here taking a job from a boomer.
Yep.
The amount of information that that boomer has.
Oh, my God.
Right. And it's if we take it back to the sports analogy, that quarterback isn't just going to show you how to handle a blitz. He's also going to show you how to handle traveling out of town.
Yeah. And
when to say, hey, you know, last one, you know, cash me out. I'm going to the room, you know, when to get up,
right?
You know, when to get to the facility. Those are things that you want your people to understand on the job as well.
There's so much that's not going to be in that manual, and that the trainers aren't going to know because they haven't done it in a while. So having somebody shadow somebody else for that period of time, that, you know, whether it's the person that they're replacing or the person that they're going to be working alongside, you know, zero responsibility, you know, you're not doing anything. You're just watching. It's like, you know, you're using this machine, you're checking into a hospital, you're observing a scenario, you know, having that opportunity to shadow in the trenches without a target on your back, without, you know, without a quota to fill, without, you know, a deadline at the end of the day. That's that, you know, scenario. In the military, we have these things we call, you know, like in the Navy, especially, we have these things called like sea stories, you know, and it sounds a lot like, well, back in my day, you know, that I used to hike up to school. It was uphill both ways, but, you know, through the snow. But people get infatuated, and I don't understand it. Like, I start talking about, yeah, when I was on the flight deck, or, oh, this scenario, or when I was over in the Gulf, and people are just kind of like, oh, I want to learn, you know. Tell me. They love those. We call them sea stories. It's the same thing, right? The person, and it doesn't mean that they have to be an old person or that they've even been there for 20, 30 years. Maybe they've been there for 5 years, but they're really damn good at what they do. Put those people together, and you're doing two huge things. One, you're literally dripping an IV of solid gold into that new person, because that knowledge is amazing. But you know what you're doing? You're also propping up the person that's teaching, because you learn, there is so much satisfaction from teaching. As long as you make sure that you do it carefully as the person, you know, setting up these scenarios, and you're not saying, hey, this person's going to replace you, you need to teach them all of your secrets. Don't do that. That just creates paranoia. And so, you know, like, hey, this person, we're going to bring them up to speed. You got a great team here. We've identified you as a really important person of the organization, and we love your information. Could you share some of your success with this new kid?
Hmm. Yeah, I think that goes into really the next piece of this, is the sense of urgency.
Yes.
Right. And so I think the sense of urgency, which we're all on, we all have a sense of urgency.
Yeah.
We want to hit the number. We want to hit our production numbers.
Right.
Right. We want to hit, you know, whatever our metric is, we want to hit it. But I think there's a difference between people who think it's a sprint and people who think it's a marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think it's a sprint, then you're not going to take the time to spend that time on that new hire.
Correct.
You're going to try and get someone who's done pretty much most of that job already. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you something. Ford is very different than Stellantis. They're very different. And
very.
For those of you who don't know, Stellantis is the new Chrysler. That's the name of Chrysler.
Like,
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I caught you on that one.
Yeah,
I got you on that one. But it's completely different. So just because you worked on axles in one place and now you're going to come and work on axles in a different place, you owe that new hire an opportunity to get the Ford swag.
Yep.
Right. Understand the culture. Understand the history. Understand the hierarchy there, right? Understand our safety codes, because your safety codes might be a little more stringent than the ones from where you came from. So part of that is now becoming the team.
Right.
It is your introduction. You want to know that. You want to give them a mentor. You want to allow, even though they know how to do it, let them watch it.
Right.
Let them see that process. There may be things that will, that there may be a light bulb that comes off.
Correct.
Because they'll say, hey, well, you know what? We actually can save ourselves a step because we do it like this, but they won't know it if you don't give them a chance to observe it. So,
yep.
So our sense of urgency, and by us doing that, what we're doing is we're hurting ourselves on the back end.
So
because
much.
Because organizations are rushing their people in. They're not checking in on them.
Mm-mm.
Okay. They're just like, oh, you got it. You good? Okay. Welcome aboard. This is what we paid you for. But what they're not checking on is what's going on in between the ears of that person.
That's so true.
So, and if you not, if you lost them psychologically, then generally what's happening is you're losing them at about month nine, because either they think all hell's going to break loose, the wheels are going to fall off into place, or they're a nervous, purvis Ellison about something that they don't feel like they can tell anybody.
Yep.
And you did that because you didn't foster an environment where they were able to talk about how they felt or what was on their mind or if they were stressed.
Yeah.
And you didn't have the opportunity to say, oh, don't worry about that. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Imagine if Tom Brady had been rushed into starting quarterback on day one.
Bruh. He got a chance to watch him the entire time.
Exactly.
He got a chance to watch him the entire time. That's like Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a great quarterback. He watched Brett Favre forever.
Forever and ever and ever.
And so you can look at some of these organizations. There are some organizations who understand how to play the long ball.
Yep.
Right? Like, we got you. You're going to be next. But it's just not about today. It's about the future.
True. And really quick, I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but let's also look at the flip side. Let's also look at the flip side. If you're coming into an organization, right? Maybe you were freaking, you know, you were the VIP, you were the bee's knees, you were the top
man,
dog,
the woman.
You were taking names and killing it. That doesn't mean you need to come in and make everything exactly the way it was at your old spot. You don't need to go in with a wrecking ball. You don't need to clear house. Maybe eventually, right? Maybe eventually, but let's find it, you know, take a moment, whether you're a boss or you're behind a quota or a scenario, take a moment to ease into that organization and learn their culture. You went to work there for a reason. You decided to leave wherever you were at and go somewhere new because you were open to change. You were open to new possibilities. Find out what makes that organization successful before you go and go, well, this is how we did it at blah, blah, blah. So this is how we're going to do it here.
Just chill out.
Right. You're going to alienate people. You're going to your offensive line isn't going to cover you, and you're going to get sacked over and over and over. And who are you going to blame? You're going to blame your offensive line, and then you're going to ruin that whole team. And then you're going to move on to somewhere else, and you're going to be a wrecking ball in life, and nobody's ever going to get anything from you. And that's sad because you've lost all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
well said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is that. We are at a crossroads in our in all industries.
Yep.
Right. We're at a crossroads. And what we're finding from a lot of people, and this is for mainly our people managers out there, we're finding that we're doing a worse job of onboarding people across industries.
Worse than I've ever seen.
It is clear. It's because of the stress.
Yep.
It's because of the remote work.
Yep.
This is an area that you can't get back. Like people say, you know, you can never, you know, that first impression, you can't ever get it back.
You can't.
So for your people, even if you don't have it all together, you got to dress it up like it is.
Yes,
you really do. You got to dress it up like it is. You got to check in with people. You have to really put on the training wheels for people at first. And understand this, whether or not you want them to be immediately hitting the number, people don't get safe and comfy in their job till month six.
Correct.
Really. And that's what I tell people, because a lot of times people come and they're in a job and they're month two and they're like, oh, my God, what did I sign up for? And I don't know, Jack. And I'm like, give yourself to month six.
Right.
and then look yourself in the mirror and see where you're at. And more than likely, you should be, you know, on the higher end of the curve.
Right.
Right. In terms of your knowledge, whether it be about your product or process, but give yourself 6 months.
Yep.
So leaders, absolutely. You can say, oh, we'll get them up this quick. But realistically, your folks need 6 months to settle in.
Yep.
And get over the realization of how hard the job really is.
Yep.
And it's your job as a leader to help your people get over the fact like, oh, yeah, you signed up. And now that's kind of a big number, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can work on that. We got you.
We're going to do it together. Let's strategize. Now, let's see how we can go and attack it. Right. So that's where it's at. But you can't just leave them out there.
Mm-mm.
And they're pushing a dumpster fire uphill. You have to help them. You have to guide them. You have to make it realistic for them in terms of, OK, I see that that's heavy.
Right.
I see that. Right. And let's put our heads together to figure out how we can overcome it. That will keep them from jumping off of the deep end.
Yeah, because the realistic scenario, if you do that, is you're going to have an underperforming person that's going to just be stressed out and not reaching their true potential because they were never given the time to understand the weight that they're going to have to lift. Worst case scenario, you're going to have to just keep, you're going to be a revolving door and you're going to be bleeding money trying to fill that one position because you couldn't take the time to wait for it to happen organically.
Yeah, well said. And you've given up on the creativity of finding of finding someone like, I think we can bring this person in and teach them. Oh, they used to do that? Well, that's not too far away from this. I think I can bring them in. And so, because if not, you're going to be fishing in the same pond.
Yep.
And some of those fish are getting old.
Yep.
Right? They're getting, as my mother would say, they're getting long in the tooth.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so you're fishing for the same old stuff. You're not bringing new blood. You're bringing recycled blood in here.
Yeah. And so go ahead.
No, how are we getting, there's people, you don't just have to get the same people that are 50 to 60 years old that have been doing the gig. That's what I'm saying.
Take a chance on somebody.
Well, eventually you're going to run out of those people.
Exactly.
So once all the 50, 60 year olds who are supply chain experts.
Right.
What are you going to do when they're gone?
Right.
Right. And so now you haven't even filled in your internal pipeline. You got to take a chance on some young bucks, bring them in and teach them the system.
Right.
Right. Those are leadership development programs.
Right.
You say, let's take a certain amount of money and now let's go bring in 5 to 14 people.
Right.
And let's show them the entire business and let's let them chill. Let's let them tell us what we might be able to do it to improve.
Yep.
But yet and still they're getting tribal knowledge. It's organic knowledge of the organization and we're not rushing them.
Yeah. And I want to double down. If you're that person who's bringing people in an organization and you're like, I don't care if I'm a revolving door, I'm going to hire until I get the right fit. Let's think about this. If that role is customer facing, think about what your customers are also experiencing. It's like, what kind of organization is this? Yeah. They got a new person every other quarter. I can't tell if I trust these guys. Do I even want to buy these? Maybe I'm going to go somewhere else and probably they will.
And somebody, one of those people is probably disenfranchised. So they're not coming off in the best light to the customer either. So they're probably getting the frustrated version of that top-notch person that you hire.
Exactly. So it trickles down to the point that we're trying to make is bringing somebody into the organization poorly affects every single aspect of your company. It affects your employees. It affects your profit. It affects your customers. It affects everybody.
Imagine going into a new hotel. You just land. I'm just going to pick a place. You land in New Mexico, right? You're like, oh, this is great. And you find there's a JW and you pull up to the JW and you go, "Hey, I'm Mr. Van Ingen," and then they give and they just go like this. They go, "Here's your room key."
They throw the key at you.
They give you the key, and there's no room number on there. And they're like, "Okay, see ya." And then you got to go like, "Hey, what room am I in?" And then they got to write it. But they don't tell you what a gym is. They don't tell you what an elevator is. They don't tell you any of those things. How would you feel going into that hotel?
I probably might not stay at any JW Marriott again.
Right.
Not just that JW Marriott. Any.
Any. You're like, what? I don't know if there's a gym. I don't know if there's an M Club. Is there breakfast?
Yeah.
Is there construction going on in this joint? What?
Marriott. So get the shit together, man. What the hell?
Yeah. So you can't do that. So is
you
there?
Cannot.
If you like to sum it up for him, what would you sum up this conversation with to our listener in the big three? What would you sum up the changes they need to make?
Investing time, patience, and money into every person that you bring into the organization mm-hmm. is like an investment in your future, you know, and it's like knowing that you're buying Apple stock in the 80s. It's like, oh, look at how big this can grow and how much potential. As long as you have a program that's properly sorted so that you can identify along that 30, 60, 90, 1 year journey of a new person to the organization, you've mm-hmm. got, you know, escape hatches and you've got programs to be like, hey, let me help you or let me eject you safely from the organization. But the potential of people that you're going to have and where they're going to be able to grow is infinitely higher than just, boom, start doing your job.
Yeah. Well said. Yeah, I would say when you hire someone, that first 2 weeks, you'll never be able to get it back.
Ever.
You'll never be able to get it back. So add that in to the hiring process. Add it in, right? If it's going to take you 3 months to hire someone, add the 2 to 3 weeks on properly onboard them. Because those 2 weeks will give you an extra 2 years if you do it the right way. If you sign them up, if you sign them up with people, if you connect them with an environment where they can speak openly, and then you can create an environment to say, how's it going? What's working? What's not? And let me find out a way to get you what you need. That's what's going to help people. By thinking that you can cut corners mm-mm. and rush people onto the floor.
Mm-mm.
Right into the office, wherever it is, onto the field, you thinking that you can rush them to get immediate results, you're only kicking your own self in the anus. You are. And so take the time. And I know it's stressful and I know people have their thumbs on you, but you have to give your people time and space to recognize where they're at. Understand where the coffee machine is, right? Understand how, if we put a cover sheet on the TPS reports, give them time and space to understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
the loyalty that you're going to get, especially if you know that you're bringing people into a high stressful job, you know, the loyalty that you'll add, that 2 years that you talked about, I couldn't agree more. Well said.
And don't think that they don't talk about how crappy the onboarding is.
They talk.
So if you're given a crappy, they're going to be like, what is this? This is crap. And so as soon as they say that, they're like, did I do the right thing?
Yeah. The doubt.
Within the first 2 weeks, if they're in doubt, then you've lost them.
Fail.
You've lost them.
Couldn't agree more, my dude.
My God. Is it that time?
It's that time, bro. It's time for some this
or that.
Like, sometimes I like to change it week to week. And the last time
you a dark soul, bro. I mean, like, whoa.
You ready? You ready for the darkness? I'm Bane.
I know.
I grew up in the dark.
I feel your anger, Skywalker.
I embrace the dark since I was a child.
If that was one of my favorite ones. I'm right? sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's good. Go ahead. If you mm-hmm. had to pick this, either of these crappy scenarios,
you're the
would
worst,
you
bro.
Rather have nobody show up to your wedding or nobody show up to your funeral?
Mm. I'd rather someone show up to my wedding. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Yeah. Cause my funeral, that might mean I'm the last guy on the planet. You know what I'm saying?
So, okay.
I'll take it like that. I'll be like last man standing.
I hear you. Right? That is definitely one way to look at it.
Mm-hmm. At least with the wedding, you're getting your flowers while you're there. Mm, right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That's how I take it. I'm not going to know what's going on at my funeral.
That's an interesting take. I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to mm-hmm. be like, because my whole goal in life is to leave something better mm-hmm. than how I found it. And so if I did that, I have to think that a bunch of people are going to be really butthurt that I'm not around anymore. So
we already know that though. Right. See, I know I'm not being egotistical, but I live my life trying to help people.
You, true.
Just a little bit. You kind of an egomaniac. But so I'm with you. That is you always on some doom and gloom up in this joint.
I'll make it fun next time. Maybe.
No,
we'll think
cool.
about it. We'll think
it's
about cool. it. I'll consider making the next one fun. No promises. No promises.
Oh, man. As always, bro, I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, my guy.
Peace.
Peace.